Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
So today is Father's Day. We're finishing off our day here at Nations Church with a bang. We've had a great day right across all our services. But I also do want to say that as a church, we do appreciate that Father's Day can be a bit of a difficult day for some. And if you're here tonight and maybe you've recently lost a father, or maybe, you know, just that the whole idea of father evokes some difficult emotions for you. I do want to say that we are sensitive to that and want to honor you for being here tonight. But I do also want to say that at Nations Church, we're unapologetic about honoring dads, about the crucial role that they play, not just in our homes and in church, but also in our communities and in society. And, you know, we love our dads. And so tonight, I just thought I'd read a few passages of Scripture out of the Bible. So cast your eyes on the screen now as you put Luke chapter 15 up. It's an account that Jesus is telling. It's really a story, if you like. We call it a parable. And it says here in Luke 15, verse 11, it says, Jesus continued that there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. It's interesting that he asked his father, and his father gave him everything, and now he's out in the world. No one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say this to him. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. What an outstanding passage of Scripture. I want to speak into that tonight. But before we do get into the conversation about the text we just read, I do want to take this opportunity to honor my own father. This is my dad here, Pastor Chin. Give my dad a big hand. This is my dad. And Dad, happy Father's Day. Love you so much. My dad is an incredible man of God. What I really appreciate about my own dad is that he's given me two of the most precious gifts I could ever ask for as a son. And firstly, that gift is a love for God. And secondly, he's also instilled in me a love for the house of God. And to that, I'm eternally grateful and very, very thankful. Even now that I'm a father of my own two boys, I'm grateful to have a great dad and who got saved from a long line of Buddhists. And it's great to see the journey of growth in him. And Dad, I really appreciate how much you've given me as a father and all the sacrifices you made. I love you a lot. One of my favorite passages of Scripture here is in Luke chapter 15. You know, pictures are so important in our society, aren't they? Like, if I were to describe something to you and then I showed you a picture of it, you'd go, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah? Because a picture paints 1,000 words. But back in biblical times, there were no TVs or magazines or any real way of depicting pictures or stories or to flesh out in visual form, I guess. And so what Jesus often did was tell stories using word pictures. You following me so far? To convey truths about the way that God relates to us and the way that he views us and the way that he wants to interact with us, Jesus often told parables or stories to convey deep truths about the way God feels about us. And the Jewish language is a heart language. It's not always a literal language with, you know, exacting definitions. It's a heart language. It's a language where people try, whenever they spoke, a Jewish person would try and convey the holistic depth of meaning or the emotional principle and constructs and truths, and they were all rolled into one. And so here Jesus, in Luke chapter 15, was conveying a compelling truth about the way God sees us and wants to relate to us. And the way that Jesus conveys who God is as Father and us as children. And so tonight I want to speak to you, particularly if you're a father here tonight. I want to encourage you to come with me on the journey to look at this text through the lens or the eyes of the Father in Luke chapter 15. And if you're not a father here tonight, I want to encourage you to look at this text from the lens of the Son. And so tonight I want to speak to you on the Father's love. The Father's love. Such an important, crucial, foundational truth for us to understand. See, when we read this passage of Scripture, we need to also understand that Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience. And the way that Jesus tells this story, it was meant to be incredibly confronting. What this youngest son did was come to his dad and say, "Dad, I want my inheritance before it's time for me to have it." So the request that he was making was not a good request. In fact, it was, to the listener, a very offensive request. It was as offensive as if a son were to say to dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead so I could take the money." It was not kosher. It was not cool at all in those days. And it was, in fact, told in such a way as to elicit a shock response, or that kind of response, if you like. But what's even more shocking is that even though people expected Jesus to give an account for the father correcting the son and putting him back in his place, the father actually honors the son's request and takes up all of his life savings, the portion that was due to his son, and gives the son everything that he asked for. It was a shock to the listener. But what Jesus was trying to convey to the listener at the time was that we actually have a God who grants every person free will, and he will love us in the context of the free choice and free will that he's given us. We have an incredible Heavenly Father. It's almost beyond reason. But I don't know if you know that the love of God is beyond reason. What Jesus was trying to convey was that religion controls, but true love loves in spite of our free will. Yeah. At the very core, the love of God is a love between Creator and His people, between a sovereign and almighty and all-knowing God and a fragile, broken people with free will. And this is where the confusion about the Christian faith often comes in, is that we try and make the Christian faith about moral teachings of a person. We try and make the Christian faith about wise principles and how to behave and live a values-based life. These are all valid and good, but that's not the epicenter of the Christian faith. The epicenter of the Christian faith is the unconditional heart of love that the Heavenly Father has towards free-willing, free-choice humans like you and I. The Father gets together the portion of his life savings and gives the portion to this son who has the audacity to ask him for it, and releases the son to do whatever he wants with this money. See, you got to understand that God loves you too much to control you. Yeah. He will love you in spite of what you choose to do. And you know, as fathers here, so many of us, we know what it feels like as dads to love our kids in spite of the choices they make. Yeah. How many of you are dads here and your kids make 100% right choices all the time? I know my kids don't. And as dads, we have to go through the nail-biting moments of seeing our kids potentially hit brick walls that only we can see coming up. As parents, we see that. But what Jesus is trying to convey in this account in Luke chapter 15, that the Father's heart is one of unconditional love, which makes his love towards people a very unique force in the world. There is no other force like the love of our Heavenly Father. Yeah. And he inspires us as dads and shows us what love actually looks like. And so in this account in Luke chapter 15, if I may, I want to speak to some fathers tonight if you're here. And if you're not a father tonight, begin to look at it through the lens of the Son. But what I love about Luke chapter 15 is that firstly, Jesus conveys this account to tell us that love looks like sacrifice. Yeah. Love actually looks like sacrifice. This father takes everything that he's worked for and takes the portion of what was due to his son before his time and sacrifices to give it to him, even though I think the dad already knew that son was going to make some poor choices with what he was giving him. See, love sacrifices. And if you're a dad here tonight, God knows the sacrifices you've made. God knows the the choices that you made in terms of your career and the compromises you've had to make, maybe in terms of climbing the corporate ladder or making career choices because you've had a young family. God knows what you've had to lay down in terms of taking on jobs that would have taken you away from your family. I want to say this to you tonight, that if you've had to make sacrifices as a dad, and we all of us dads have had to, you also have a Heavenly Father that's made sacrifices for you, so He gets it. Come on, we have a Heavenly Father who understands and gave us the ultimate sacrifice, which was Himself. And I want to tell you tonight that if you love Jesus as a dad and you've made sacrifices, as you lean into the grace of God, the day's going to come when those sacrifices are going to feel like exceeding joy. The day's going to come when those times of giving up is going to feel like going up. Come on, are you out there? Your Heavenly Father understands what it's like to make those sacrifices. See, if we don't ever resolve that a father's love looks like sacrifice, then we're actually going to resent the journey of fatherhood. But I want to tell you tonight that love looks like sacrifice, and it's okay. And we have a Heavenly Father that understands what that looks like. The second thing about this account of Luke chapter 15 is that the Father tells us and depicts to us, Jesus depicts that the Father has a love that looks like forgiveness. Love looks like forgiveness. How many of you here are dads and you know what it's like for your kids to do things that have hurt you maybe, or maybe have disappointed you, but love looks like forgiveness. Like I said before, the just reward for a Jewish person would have been to hear of the father rejecting the son's return and making him work as a servant to pay off the inheritance taken. That was the Jewish way, and that would have been the way that ordinarily this account would have played out. But what was really shocking to the listener at the time was that the father offered forgiveness. This is what you need to catch. A father's love looks like forgiveness. And a father's forgiveness is more powerful than the forgiveness of a friend. Can you follow me on this? See, a father's forgiveness has implied in it an unconditional affirmation of identity. So it's very different to the kind of forgiveness that you give to a mate. Catch this. Fathers, when we forgive our kids, we're not just forgiving them for what they've done, we're affirming them for who they are in spite of what they've done. Come on, are you following me so far? It's very different. A forgiveness of a father is very different to the forgiveness of a mate. You know, for me, as a child, when I did something wrong to a friend, it was a different kind of feeling that I had to when I felt like I disappointed my father. Because when I did something wrong to a friend, it was about what I did. But when I felt like I disappointed my dad, it was about who I am. Make sense to you? The son said this in Luke chapter 15, verse 19, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. See, it becomes an identity issue, not an act. Make sense to you? To this son, it became about his identity. He says, make me like one of your hired servants. I'm re-identifying myself in your eyes, dad. Not because really it was what I did, but because of what I did makes me feel like I've changed internally in my identity towards you. And you know what? Our kids don't always know how to articulate it, but a father's forgiveness is far greater, carries a far greater weight than the forgiveness of anybody else. Little wonder the first thing that our Heavenly Father gave to humanity, fully knowing what we needed, was forgiveness. First thing that He knew, because it was an identity issue. Long after the pain of the poor choices of our kids are gone, the pain of our unforgiveness as dads will linger. Long after the taste of the pig feed is gone, the wounds of a father's unforgiveness will linger. As a father, our love looks like forgiveness because there is no other forgiveness more powerful than a father's. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We can't ever protect our children from the consequences of their choices, but remember, the father wasn't there to stop the younger son in Luke 15 from eating pig food, but when forgiveness was there to be offered, the father offered it. The third thing that I love about Luke 15 and what Jesus tells us about the love of the Father that's inspirational for us on this Father's Day is that a father's love looks like restoration. It always looks like restoration. To forgive is one thing, but to restore is another. To restore actually means to reinstate back to its original state. The son thought that forgiveness meant that he had to come back as a servant. The only way that he would be welcomed back to his father's house was to come as a servant, but the father didn't just forgive the son, he restored him back to his original state as son. Are you following me so far? You know, our discipline of our children, fathers, it corrects them and it teaches them. But our restoration of our children back to a place of love and value actually empowers them to grow. You know, as men, as fathers, sometimes we find it in our hearts to forgive but we take a longer time to restore. Because we don't like it when people do things to us that hurt us or make us feel like we're set backwards. And as men, we're proud people. And when our kids make choices that we feel reflects poorly on us, we can find it in our hearts after a time to forgive, but at times we're slow to restore. I want to say this to you, there's nothing more powerful than for a father to restore a daughter or a son back to a place of value and love in his heart. Come on, are you out there? In society, we intuitively know the value of mateship, the bond between two friends. Popular culture also knows the bond between two lovers. We see it all the time in popular music and culture, and songs are written about it and movies are made about it. We know the bond between a mother and child, but I reckon one of the most underrated bonds in the world between two people, and therefore one of the most easily broken, is the bond between father and son or daughter. Fathers, I want to say this to you tonight. A father's love must always look to restore. It must always look to jealously guard the bond between father and son or daughter, and always look to relentlessly restore it if it's ever been lost. This is helpful to you guys tonight. The fourth thing that I love about this passage in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus speaks about that inspires us as dads is that the father's love also looks like response. Yeah. It looks like response. Notice how the father in Luke 15 didn't control the son's actions. He didn't actually go out into town and drag the son back by his hair and pull him back into the house and say, this is where you need to stay, and controlled his actions. But in Luke 15 in verse 20, it says the son finally came to his senses, and when he got up and went to his father, it says here, but while he was still a long way off. So the father possibly would have been waiting at the gates of his house, waiting for son to come back. And it says his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. The father didn't just stand at the gates and go, oh, I'll just see whether he comes all the way in. But no, he runs to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Dads, our children need us to be responsive to them. Our children need us to respond to them. And through the journey in my own life, I've seen my own unresponsiveness at times through preoccupation or because of busyness, and to be honest with you, because of self-centeredness and maybe just being in my own world, sometimes I'd be sad to say my life has looked a little bit like this. Dad. Sorry, what was that, son? Come on, am I the only unholy father in all of Nations Church tonight? See, our children aren't looking for perfect fathers, but they are looking for responsive dads. And kids being kids, they don't do their life on adult terms. They just do their life on their terms as kids. Makes sense to you? So we gotta make sure that we don't miss those opportunities to respond when our kids want to play, when they want to interact, when they want to talk, when they want to tell us about stuff that's been going on in their worlds. And as I look back on my journey of fatherhood, there have been times I'm sad to say that I've missed those opportunities, but I'm determining tonight to do as the father in Luke 15 has done, which is look for opportunities to be responsive. Our kids need responsive fathers. Finally, the fifth thing that I love about this passage in Luke chapter 15. When we talk about the father's love, this is very important. Father's love looks like speaking. Dads, we need to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice. There is no greater voice with greater weight in our home than yours, dads. Yours is the voice of leadership. Yours is the voice of clarity. It's the voice of direction. It's the voice that sets the atmosphere in your family. See, Chrissy and I have been married for 17 years. And it's you know, I've nowhere even arrived in this area. But of late, the Lord has been challenging me about the importance of my voice in my home, in my sphere of influence. See, when we are silent, dads, our children have to fill in the blanks. In Luke chapter 15, this is what the son said. Upon coming home in verse 21, the son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. It was an odd statement. In two sentences, it was kind of mixed up. It was repentant, but it was also not right in many ways. He had lost his way. He lost his identity. It was an emotionally loaded statement. And as men, we don't know what to do with emotionally loaded statements. I'm reading that and I'm feeling awkward for the dad. What do you do with that? Where do you go with that? Dad, I've sinned against heaven and earth and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What have you had for lunch? How are the Eagles going? I mean, what do you do with that? And because we don't know what to do with emotionally loaded things, we stay silent. I want to say this to you. This is not what the Father did. In Luke chapter 15, verse 21, we just read, the Son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. The first thing he says to his dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. In verse 22, but the Father immediately speaks. It says, the Father then said, he wasn't silent. He said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Immediately, the Father spoke to bring alignment to the house, to reset the atmosphere of the house, to show leadership to the servants and everyone that was observing what was going on in the return of the Son. In a couple of statements, the Father spoke love. He spoke forgiveness. He spoke restoration. He led the servants of the house to be ordered and set the atmosphere of sonship back into the home when the Son was prepared to settle for servanthood. The Son came back, repentant and broken, lost his identity, and immediately the Father spoke and said, no, you are not a servant. I'm putting a ring on your finger, a robe around you, son, sandals on your feet. I'm calling it in this house right now. You are not a servant, but you are my son. My voice and everyone is going to hear in this house today, you are not coming back as a servant. You are coming back as a son. See, dads, we should never be silent. Our families need our voices. We're living in an age where society is trying to silence the voice of dads. They're painting us out to be the idiots. We are the Homer Simpsons, the Al Bundys. We are the losers on the modern family. Dads, we're being made out to be irrelevant. I want to say this to you tonight. It's time for us to stand up and have our voices heard again. In our homes, in our communities, in our society, one more time. Our voices need to be heard. When a dad's voice is silent, children have to make up and fill in the blanks. When our voices are silent in the home, our wives have to speak on our behalf. It ain't right. There is an anointing and a grace for the mothers of the home to speak in the role that they play. But it's a very powerful anointing and a very powerful grace that's on every father to use his voice in the appropriate place. See, I want to say this to you, dads. If you're a believer and you love Jesus, your voice needs to be heard not just in your home, but it needs to be heard in this house. People need to hear you worship. People need to hear you pray. People need to hear you encourage the next generation. People need you to stand up and not be silent and say to a young person, son, daughter, you matter here. There's a great future for you here. There is a destiny for you. You count. You keep going, son. You keep going, daughter. Your voice needs to be heard, not just in your house, but in the house of God and in your sphere of influence. Do not be silent. Do not let the world tell you that your voice no longer matters, because it matters. Let me give Jesus a big shout of praise. It matters. In conclusion tonight, this account of the prodigal son also places the perspective of the son onto all of us. Because truth be known, we all have free choice. And every single person here, I'm sure, if you were to be gut level honest with yourself, you've made decisions with your free choice and your free will to do things that you might have regretted. There was a turning point in Luke chapter 15 where it says this incredible line. When it says this about the son, when he came to his senses. There is a point for us all where we have to decide if this world without the love of God actually makes any sense at all. I come from a long line of Buddhists and my dad came to faith when I was a younger boy, and throughout my own journey and seeing my dad figure out his faith in Jesus, I also came to my own faith in Jesus Christ. And now that I'm a father of my own accord, I've got a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old with special needs. I am so grateful on this Father's Day that I actually have a heavenly Father. I've got Jesus living inside of me, that every day he empowers me and gives me strength to be the kind of father that I need, and that in my struggles and at times of being a dad, his strength actually holds me up. And you know, I realize that I get one shot at this. My kids are not going to be babies. They were not babies anymore, and they'll never be babies again. And the stakes are high in fathering. I get one shot at this. But I'm so grateful that I've got a heavenly Father that has taught me that love looks like sacrifice, that love looks like forgiveness, that it looks like restoration, that it looks like responding, that it looks like speaking. Tonight, you also have a heavenly Father that's knocking on the door of your heart to say, will you allow me to have a relationship with you?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.